I have great news to share. After uproar and politicking, loot boxes are going away. Now you can get on board with your favorite games out of tees. I don't get it, but I'm not the target market. I'm not willing to pay any amount of money for colors, patterns, and things that I frankly don't pay any attention to in a game. This is the inevitability in 2022, and for who knows how much longer. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to explain more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 896 of our show for this December the 19th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as always, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, and I'm trying to figure out why I can't see you on Twitch right now. That is very strange. I will be working that. Of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at twitch.tv/VOG Network, the Voice of Geeks Network, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And usually you see both of my co-hosts, and I have no idea why tonight all of a sudden it decided not to do that. That is interesting.
All right. Can see me on...
Yeah, no. You're fine. It's definitely something on my end, so I will work on fixing that. No worries. Meanwhile, how have you been this week? Happy Sunday to you.
It has been a week already.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I am I'm now officially off all my meds. At least the ones that are supposed to make me feel better about my life, the universe, and my place in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, good Lord, it is. I'm confused all the time. I am a mess, but it's okay.
Okay, so I got the cam issues fixed, and I see your lovely Bah Humbug hat that you're wearing. It kind of making me jealous a little bit. I like the hat.
It's good. And I'm wearing...
Oh, is that one of your Death Hook for Cutie shirts?
I'm wearing my Death Hook for Cutie shirt because that's how I feel. I'm going to be killing later.
She's a marketing queen. All right.
I'm a marketing queen. Stop, Siri. Stop telling me to do stuff. Siri's like, you bought R-Type shirts. And I'm like, yes, I bought an R-Type shirt.
I so want to do a little prank and say, hey, blah, 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 set an alarm for 4:30 a.m. But I realized that would do the same thing to all of our listeners. And that's not a very nice prank. So
on top of that, Siri actually pays attention to what your voice sounds like, unlike a certain other non-Siri voice recognition software.
All right. They're all annoying. Let's be real. All right. Say hello as well to Techmaster Loki.
Hey.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, I thought of you because I know you, this show's been on a very long time. I've said that a lot.
Yeah.
But if it's your first time listening to OLR, hello and welcome to 896 episodes. Yeah, that's we didn't skip
any. You have
any.
A lot to catch up. It's like the MCU. You got to watch all of them to know what we're talking about now.
Exactly. But way back in the day, I remember you would talk about The Matrix a lot because it was a movie series that you really liked. And of course, the game came out. And I remember you and I lived together when that game came out. And I remember watching the game get played on, was it GameCube or whatever you owned it on? Maybe it was PS2. I don't remember. But I remember watching that game. And so I kind of thought of you because I've been seeing all this hype about the new movie. And they just did the movie premiere. In San Francisco, actually, which I thought was really cool. They did the movie premiere at the Castro Theater. I was like, oh, I've been there several times. And it was cool. And I guess that, you know, not that I totally care about what movie reviewers have to say, but I'm curious, you know. And so I looked at some non-spoilery things that were basically like, it's better than the other sequels. And I'm like, good enough for me. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts going into this new Matrix movie?
I'm excited for it. I want to see it in theaters, but
yeah,
we'll see if I get to do. We'll see if I get to do that. It's, I might be able to get away for it.
Yeah,
we'll
I was gonna say, with all the all the Omicron stuff is just like growing by the day.
Oh no, I'm not talking about that. So that's fine. No, I'm talking about the kids and like having to do that. I was able to sneak away yesterday to see Spider-Man, but yeah, it's just tough with that time of year. It's just busy and stuff.
COVID, I can handle that. My children, oh God.
Well, they wanted to see The Matrix, and I was like, oh, well, we could watch the first movie. And my wife's like, no, they can't watch that movie. It's too violent. I'm like, fine.
It is a little
violent. I get to see it, and you don't, so that's fine.
Oh, that's so cool. See, okay.
I want to see it.
Our pal Bobby Blackwolf, maybe that's a thing we can do December 25. But I'm fine. I'm boosted. Whatever. I'm not going to get sick. But it's, and I would, I think we've said this plenty on this show, but I would really urge folks, if you're not already vaccinated, you're going to regret that decision. Like, I don't know a nice way to say it. Like, if you're not vaccinated, unless you have a legitimate, you're like those, that like 0.01% of people who have like a legitimate thing that they can't do it. I'm not talking to that group, of course, but everyone else who can and doesn't, like, I don't know any nice way to say it. Like, you're going to regret that decision. But the other, if you're vaccinated and you're just not boosted yet, you probably want to do that. Just food for thought.
Yeah, boosted.
Yeah, just do it. It's a quick little appointment. And yeah, you can have faith knowing that if you do get Miss Omicron, she's not going to be deadly. It's you know, it'll be just a flu, ironically.
You should be boosted too.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all boosted here. One of us.
Good. I'm glad to hear some folks at least have their appointments set, and that is that you're still being proactive about it, and you still get a gold star. If you just got your appointment set, that's fine. But I was looking in chat. So Bobby Blackwolf in our chat says, my friends begged me to host a viewing in my theater, so we're doing that Thursday night. I wanted to go to a real theater to see it. See, I would totally go. Actually, Blackwolf Manor is probably the best possible place to watch that new movie, because then you don't have to worry about COVID and you get to see it on the big screen. So I'm jealous. I really am. What do y'all say? Let's get in the car and go to Atlanta. Bobby won't mind, right? He can do two showings.
Well, I mean, there's two advantages. Number one, Bobby's house and right. Bobby and everything right. inside of Bobby's house. And number two, Waffle House. Yeah, my two favorite houses.
Have you met Mrs. Blackwolf? She's fabulous.
I haven't met her.
Yeah, she's fabulous. You'd love her. So,
but I may put Dragon Con off again because it's a really big con, and I'm probably doing Twitch Con.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna be a busy year next year. So I really hope, you know, this
if it's safe.
Variant thing comes and goes. You know, and I don't think it.
Well, you know, wait till we get to the Omega strain, and yeah, then we're all, you know, going to be super mutants.
Well, the good news is if this is a video game podcast, I won't go too far down this rabbit hole, but my hope is if Omicron is weaker, and not to underestimate it, if it infects more people and it still causes some major issues to the unvaccinated, it's not going to be pretty, and I don't want to make light of that situation. But on like if you're going to continue to choose to not get vaccinated, I literally don't know what else to tell
you. I have no respect for you.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but I am just going to say
I really have no respect for people who aren't vaccinated unless they have.
I am not going to go that far. So I'm just saying you will have to live with that decision, no matter, you know, what.
And the people they infect will have to die with that decision. Just saying.
So now I forgot where I was going to go with that. So forget it. Let's just get
hold on a second, because I have to show you something and I'll be right back.
OK.
Anyway, so Spider-Man was awesome.
Oh, how was Spider-Man?
It was excellent.
Don't
was
no spoilers. OMG, spoilers! Don't spoil.
I'm not
OMG,
anything.
There's spoilers. That's just how the internet is right now.
No, that's why I had to see it, because the internet be like that. So yes, so I had to go see it before it was spoiled. No, it was excellent. I really liked it.
Okay. Rob.
Yes.
Do 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 do.
Oh, those are cute.
Those are
I
for
like
you.
Those.
And I randomly saw them, and I'm like, I know who wants this.
Yeah, I loves it. Who doesn't need more Golden Girls memorabilia in their house?
Exactly.
I don't know them. All right. Let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, and I will go to Loki to ask us to start off tonight. I'm going to be messing with the video here on Twitch just to try to fix some of the delay weird issues here. But in the meantime, let's go to Loki and start us off tonight talking about the Nintendo Indie Direct that was this week.
Yes, and I totally did not watch it, but it was a
I didn't
direct
either.
Show. It was a direct showcase. I mean, it's indie games. It's fine. You know, indie games are cool and stuff, but like, it was one of those, like, I literally did not see the announcement that it was out. And I think I did see it in my feed, like, a while back, like, YouTube. Like, shortly after, I was like, it's fine. I'll catch up on it later, and I forgot. But anyways, he did, like, a 20-minute direct that showed off a bunch of different games. that are coming out soon. So let's kind of go over some of those. So we have Chicory, A Colorful Tale, and it is now coming to the Switch. It's a creative painting puzzle game, which sounds pretty cool. We had Afterlove EP, which is a rhythm game. Looks pretty awesome. And what else? Alicia, The Oblivion of the Twin Goddess, a 3D puzzle game. We had The Messenger and... Or is it the creators of The Messenger? They made a game called Sea of Stars, which is like an isometric RPG. And it looks like it's also got music by Yasunori Mitsuda. Okay, let me just try that again without butchering it. Yasunori Mitsuda, who is the composer from Chrono Trigger, is doing music in that as well. That's coming out next holiday season. What else? Locomotive, a point-and-click whodunit game. They have a Let's Play Oink Games. That's like, I guess, a bundle of board games. Oink makes me think of that. Did you ever play that, like, dice? It's not really a dice game, but it's sort of like a dice game where you roll, like, rubber pigs and you try to get them to, like, it's like almost like Yahtzee, but, like, with pigs.
That's like a real game. I've played that.
Oink is, it's a real game. I used to play that a long time ago when I was a kid, but because it's fun just to play with the little figures.
Mm-hmm.
What else? River City Girls 2 is supposed to be coming out next summer. Ollie Ollie World is going to be coming to the Switch in February. We've got a game called Timely, which is an action, was it a... It's a game with a cat and time manipulation. So, you know, I was always suspicious that cats can do that. Now I know. Let's see. What is it? Omori, which is a time traveling RPG game.
I own that game on Steam.
Yeah, now it's coming out the Switch. And what else? Figment, which is an isometric platformer game. And what else? I think that might have been it. And I think Endling Extinction is forever. Good to know, you know, as opposed to the other Extinction that is not forever, which is an adventure game, and that is going to be coming out this spring.
Surprised it's taking Figment this long to come out, though.
And this one, this is also awesome. So they're also going to be porting over Grime and Don't Starve Together to the Switch. And then my favorite title out of the bunch is Dungeon Munchies, a side-scroller action platformer that you... cook, hunt, and eat monsters.
That's kind of great. I like that. Don't worry. Mama will kill it and then cook it and then eat it.
They really should have a cooking mama RPG game.
It really should.
Where you have to, like, gather your own ingredients and stuff.
Isn't that franchise kind of in the toilet now? Like, what? Like, ever since the whole, the rumor that Cooking Mama was mining Bitcoin, like, that was, like, a year ago or something. Like,
all of the processing power of the Switch. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jamie.
I was actually going to say, a good thing about some of these games on here is that, like, a lot of people, I mean, they're older games, but they're pretty good that people on the consoles will get to check them out. Figment came out on Mac. The sequel didn't, which I'm mad about, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that come out on Steam, but I still kind of wait to see, like, oh, maybe this will get ported to the Switch. Like, case in point, the Final Fantasy Pixel remasters. I've really resisted picking those up and haven't played them yet, and I really kind of want them to come to the Switch, and then maybe I'll pick them up, because I know what's going to happen. If I buy them now, they're going to get re-released eventually, and then I'll kick myself for having to double dip. Although, I got to admit, I'm especially now that I'm playing Final Fantasy XIV and all the references to Final Fantasy IV in this latest expansion, I'm really tempted to get the Final Fantasy IV Pixel Remaster. I don't know if I'll make it all the way to this weekend and not pick it up, but we'll see. I'm going to try. I'm going to use the rest of my willpower. But I suppose if I'm going to buy any Final Fantasy game twice, it would be that one.
Yeah, and to clarify, actually, Figment it's Figment 2 that's coming out on the Switch. My mistake. Oh. I haven't read that. It's Figment 1. Missed the 2 in there. But yeah, that's coming out, so it's getting a sequel.
Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, get a Steam Deck so you can mod the fonts in. My hope is, and maybe it's just a hope, but by the time they release it on all the consoles, they will fix some of those things that were early complaints, such as the font. But you make a fair point that the Steam version right now is the only one that can, you know, be modded, which is probably the way to play it. Dr. Tsuya says, I'm waiting for the 6 pixel remaster to drop, but yeah, may get it again if they show up on Switch. I know, and I feel like they know, and that's why they're not doing it all at once, so that they can sell it to you twice, because companies are evil like that. Even Square, who I love most of the time.
Well, Square's backed up. They said they were interested in NFTs. That's all I need to know, that they're evil.
Unfortunately, Loki, everyone is at this point, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because we have a story coming up about it, but it doesn't matter who everyone is. Unless the fans scream and shout, such as I know there was a whole thing with Dead by Daylight and Pinhead and NFTs, and the fans were like, you better the fuck not, and Behavior finally came out and said, never mind.
Getting kicked off the Steam anyway.
Or it was more like, that wasn't us. That was the Pinhead people, blah, blah, you know, place and blame. I know I saw a thing this week about the creators of Stalker, or S-T-A-L-K-R, you know, that whole series. Mm-hmm. They also had something like that where, like, they were like, we're going to launch an NFT. And then the fans were like, I think the fuck you're not. And they said, never mind. We're listening to the fans. We're not going to do it. Never mind. Reverse course. So, but we'll get into it. We have a story just like that coming up in a minute. I suppose we should get into our gaming weeks so we can get there. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I played Dead by Daylight. I've been playing, well, not playing every day, but at least logging in every day.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been looking at some games. I actually picked up a game for the App Store. That's a Castlevania game. It just updated, but I haven't played it yet, that I'm probably going to be starting on stream soon. And I'm trying to look at my last update so I can figure out... Oh, Castlevania Grimoire of Souls on...
That was Apple. Like on the Wii or something, I think. And then Apple Arcade has it now. It's like an exclusive. Yeah. I remember that coming up on the show a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to start playing that because I want to sort of play something every day while I'm on medical leave.
Ah, there you go. A little variety.
Yeah. Patterned updated, so I was touching a little bit of Patterned because it's one of my favorite puzzle games right now. Like, legit, actually a puzzle. Power Washing Clean Simulator, also on from the App Store.
Oh, I wonder if that's different.
It's different.
Power Wash. Oh, okay.
It's actually an iPad game, but I have an M1 Mac, so I can play it on my Mac instead of on my iPad. I got actually some stuff through Steam that is not games, so I've got like some art reference applications now that I've been just, you know, sort of playing around with. It's been pretty fun. And I played Theater of Magic yesterday.
Oh, like the pinball table?
I've been playing, the real thing that's in the other room. Our anniversary machine. And the thing is that, and I don't even know how I missed this, but apparently there's a ball lock, like a secret ball lock behind the chest.
Yeah.
And, well, no, I know there's another one that's around a ramp, the standard one, but there's the secret one behind the chest, and for some reason, I either forgot about it or didn't know about it. And so I had, like, multiple multi-balls over a big course of games. We never put that one for tournament rules, because that one sucks for tournament play. It's just a really hard one for tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
So we have it, like, on all of the extra like, you can get 4 extra balls on it. And, of course, you know, all of our stuff is on free play.
You know, but, speaking of like pinball and stuff, you had a classic game of the week just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. You did Pinball FX as your classic game of the week. Or maybe it was even last week. Keep thinking of you because I've been logging into the Epic Store almost every day to get my free game. I missed a day already, but almost I did get Shenmue 3 when they gave that away for free. So I'm sure a lot of people, and I don't like the Epic Store. Like, I really don't like it, but free is fucking free. So
I didn't know they were giving out games free. They have so many and I don't play any of them.
They do that for the holidays all the time. And it usually starts with a big one and ends with a big one. So Shenmue 3 was the starter.
Put out another one today, actually, which I haven't checked.
They did. It's,
which I can't play
name.
Any of them.
The Vanishing of Ethan Carter.
That's it. The Vanishing Ethan Carter was it. Yeah. So yeah. The one they gave away yesterday, I already had. But anyway, my point is, I keep going in there and I see the ads for Pinball FX because, and you talked about this during the gaming week, I guess that's going to be an Epic Store exclusive, which I don't love, but that's show business. So, you know, people get exclusives. But I keep seeing the ads for it, and I keep wondering, oh, I wonder if this is sooner rather than later in 2022, because I am really curious to see where the Pinball FX series kind of goes in the future. So, I don't know. I was just kind of randomly thinking of that, and you talking about Pinball and Theater Magic made me think of that. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Stella in Loki's lap right now. Hi, Stella.
Yeah, she keeps screaming at me. I don't know if it's coming through, but she's just sitting here, like, screaming that I won't pick her up.
Aw, poor kitty.
She doesn't need anything. Midna's a little
mad at me, too, because she got all up into stuff and nearly broke things, and I kind of fussed at her, so...
Alan is actually home right now. He usually runs errands right at the start of OLR, but since Alan's home, I think Smush is, like, under control. He's probably chilling with Alan while Alan plays Dead by Daylight or No Man's Sky or whatever he's doing right now. So, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, my cat does the same thing, which is wonderful when I'm in meetings. Okay, I don't know about you. Oh, funny enough, Alan just walked in here, and in behind Alan, Mr. Smush, like three steps behind. That cat doesn't go anywhere without daddy. But anyway, he give a shit about me, but other daddy he's crazy about. Anyway, Bobby says, my cat does the same thing, which is wonderful when I'm in meetings. But I don't know about you guys. I love to see people's animals in meetings. Like, I will stop the whole Zoom meeting to be like, is that your kitty? You know, let's talk about your kitty. Yeah. And I even do it for puppies and all that.
Midna comes into my team meetings all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, I usually am not on camera. I have my webcam picture is Renna looking really excited. And it's saying, naturally, in Japanese.
Nice.
And
I was gonna say it's good that she does you know show up once in a while, but unfortunately she has like a sixth sense of when I'm recording voiceovers or something like that, and it's like she'll be sound asleep and then boom, wake up when I'm recording voiceovers to scream in the background. So that's not fun.
She just wants to be famous. All right, Dar Soccer, I rudely interrupted your gaming week with a 10-minute tangent. How else was your gaming week?
That was it. Lot of screaming was involved at Survivors. Right now, it's like there's no point in playing Dead by Daylight seriously. I was actually talking with just a couple other people about that earlier. It's like there's no legit reason to play Dead by Daylight seriously right now because everyone's either snowmanning or memeing because MMR is broken again. And things are glitchy again. So no one's actually being serious.
I feel like with Dead by Daylight, you just have to, especially in this MMR age, you just have to stop giving a fuck about winning or losing. Like, it's just whatever.
There's no winning. I've just given up thinking of there's a concept of winning in the game. Uh-huh. For me, is if I have a good chase and I hook somebody, I've won that round.
Yeah. There's winning, there's losing, and there's disconnecting.
No, I have zero respect for an in-game disconnect. Unless it's like against a blackface bubba.
I that is my policy. I will always DC the minute I see that somebody's running that, because that person doesn't deserve to play the game. You don't have that problem because you're always killer, so you don't run.
Because I'm always killer. Yeah. Well, I don't like to give people the satisfaction of a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
I will, if I'm playing pig, I go on stalky stalk mode and hide somewhere where they won't find me. And then I leave the room, and I go have a sandwich or some coffee or read a book or, you know, do something fun.
I disconnected the other day while I was playing Myers as killer, and I just had a straight up like bully squad who just wasn't interested in doing generators, just wanted to get me. And I was like, fine, I'll give you what you want, DC, and enjoy losing all your add-ons. So whatever.
Well, I mean, I won't even give that satisfaction. I can just alt-tab the game and go do something else.
Yeah, fair. Phoenix,
and then they're stuck there with no one to react to them, and they get zero satisfaction of making me disconnect.
Let me important to answer in chat. So Phoenix 7726 asks about Dead by Daylight. Wait, the game just lets you do a racism? So let's back up a minute. Let me explain where this comes from. So when they added Leatherface, the killer, who a lot of people call Bubba, into the game.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, right. The killer from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. What they did is that they gave him custom skins. And of course, you know, Leatherface's kind of MO is that he wears the faces of his victims. So what they did is that they gave Bubba the base four killers that started the game. So they're kind of like iconic survivors, Dwight, Meg, Claudette, and Jake. They gave Bubba those faces. Claudette is black. And so if a Leatherface wears the Claudette one, then that is a black face Bubba. And here's the thing. While you can say like, oh, it's lore and da 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 and all this stuff, it's tacky, number one. Number two, every shitbag Leatherface I've ever gone against in the history of playing that game is using that skin.
And on top of that, you can't actually get that skin as a newer player anymore.
Yeah.
You have to be legacy, I think. And no, then on top of it, that, you have to specifically choose that one.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I think people do that to be edgy. It's not cute. It's not edgy. And when, you know, I've talked about this whole, like, it comes from the movie, though, I would bet a significant amount of money, more than 90% of the people that use that skin have no idea about the lore.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a tacky decision.
They're probably regurgitating that reason from someone else who's used that shitty excuse.
Exactly. Exactly.
Behavior should remove it.
Oh, Alan wants to comment on this because what do you want to say?
Hi, Alan.
Alan's in the other room.
No.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you can hear him in the other room, but he says, you never see the other three. You only ever see Claudette. Why is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think it might actually, and I'll be honest, in sort of a reverse thing, it might be kind of hard to tell who's who with the other three.
Yeah. Phoenix7726 says, I mean, you say lore in DBD. I say, da fuck. I did not know it had lore. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's got lore.
DBD has a lot of lore.
It really is like the, as Jamie described it once early on, like the Avengers or the Marvels.
It's the multiverse of survival horror. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, it's also the Texas Chainsaw Massacre story. You know, so when Behavior did it, they were just like, oh, we're just implementing this thing that's from the lore and da-da-da. You know, they didn't really think on a deeper level what might shitbags on the internet do with this. And why?
Well, and on top of that, I think that if Behavior had been an American company, and I'm not to say anything about a French-Canadian company, mind you.
No.
There's going to be a little bit of a cultural sensitivity thing that might not have occurred to them that we would definitely have kept our pulse on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's just, they should just take it out. And
they
the
really
fact
should.
That they haven't, it would really be as easy as a true false code trigger.
Yeah. Or just convert them into charms or something else that.
No, we don't. Unless it's like Claudette head.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying like, you know what I mean? Like change them into different types of charms or something. So the people can still be like, yay, I earned this thing. So, and then that's that.
Like Lucky
it's almost
Charm.
Always a camping basement bubble on top of it.
All right. Anyway. So yeah, that's why I say I have the policy. If I see one, I disconnect. They're never any fun to go against. And it's just, and I think the more of us that do that, it's going to force it never will force Baby to do something, but I wish they would.
If I was a survivor, that would be the one thing I would disconnect over.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't give people the satisfaction. I'm a lot more stubborn than they are.
All right. Anyway. Loki, did we finish out your gaming week or did we even get to your gaming week? I'm sorry.
we never got to it.
All right, let's do it. Your gaming week. How was it?
So my gaming week was briefly Minecraft. It was mostly video editing because, unfortunately, like early game, when we start a new season in Minecraft, it's harder because it's less scripted or not necessarily scripted. But it's less planned out. Like I had general ideas. Like I want to do like build these things or, like, build these farms, gather these resources or something like that. But, like, later on in the season, it's more, like, scheduled out and stuff. And so it's a little easier to know what I need to record for each episode. And so it's going through that initial, like, dump of video footage. So I had, like, 12 hours of video footage to comb through to pull out stuff. But the episode turned out great. So go check it out. Posted it last night.
Awesome. Congrats. And, over at youtube.com/LokiOLR.
Yes. And then that was pretty much the only thing I played this week. I need to get back my Xbox Series X from my sister.
Yes, you do.
Hopefully she's done Kingdom Hearts 3.
All right, my gaming week. I played a little bit more Minecraft, Loki, but nothing to... I started yet another save game, and I had a much better luck with my survival. And I was thinking about some of the tips you were saying about leaving the torches on one side underground. So, excuse me, I need to play more of it, but I've just been distracted by most of my time of this week. I've been playing Final Fantasy XIV. The queues are still messy, but I've kind of figured out how to make them work for me. I've pretty much figured out, like, if I go out and do stuff right after work, like I go for a walk or do something, if I start queuing up around 7:30, I'll be in the game by 9, and then I play from 9 o'clock to bedtime. Yeah, to kind of play out the night. Some stuff
I'm not
is
touching it yet.
Some stuff
I don't
is
have that kind of patience.
Yeah, it does take some patience. Some stuff is changing with that in a couple weeks. We have a new story item coming up on it because it's what they're doing to try to combat these issues that are still going on, like 2.5 weeks after early access launched, is kind of fascinating. So we'll get to that as a news item later on. Some of you may already know what I'm going to talk about, but just act surprised. But I, since I've got my little system down, that's what's been working for me. And I have been able to progress a ways in the game. Some folks in my free company have already beat it, the expansion. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer. To put it in perspective, spoiler free, I am on level 88 quests. Now, the max level is 90. My character is 90 because I think most people that have played through the expansion kind of know you. If you do any roulettes at all, you will outpace the MSQ. So my character's max level, but I am on level 88 quest within the story. I just finished zone number 5 and then went into the level 88 quests. So that's the most spoiler-free way I can put it. I've been enjoying it. The story, you know, it's a bummer because since we are sensitive about spoilers, I can't name some of the things that I've had a problem with specifically because it would be spoilery. But I will just say, I don't think it's perfect. I think there's some room for improvement. And I think the general thing I could say is that I really am not a fan of stealth. And I think I said this last week on the show. Luckily, the stealth stuff seemed really contained to one zone. I haven't really seen it since then, but those were really annoying, quests. Now, granted, I never got to the point where I had to drop down the difficulty all the way to very easy, which is something you can do if you keep wiping. So the stealth things are not insurmountable. They're just annoying. But the other thing that bugs the hell out of me are the escort quests. There are way too many of them in the game, and it honestly feels like something that Vanilla WoW did and figured out is not super fun to do in an MMO. So I don't know why this is showing up all these expansions later in Final Fantasy XIV. Those are really my only complaints, though, and honestly, they're very minor in light of a lot of other really fantastic things I could say about this expansion. Very, very much the downright most beautiful one yet. The music is amazing. The zones are, holy shit, like, unreal. Like, some of the later zones that I can't talk to you about are really phenomenal in the way they look. So there's a lot to see in that regard. I don't know when the moratorium on spoilers lifts, but I'm going to say when patch 6.1 comes out, so not 0.05, that's January, but when 0.1 comes out, I will talk spoilers. But until then, you've got a few months because 0.1s are usually 3 or 4 patches apart. So, or I'm sorry, 3 or 4 months apart between patches. Hello, brain. So I will talk more openly about that around the 6.1 patch, because that's when I figure it's fair game. If it's that important to you, and still, I will still, of course, I'm not going to spoil the ending or anything like that. I'm not a total jerkbag, but I will be a little less. I will talk specifically about zones and things like that when we get to the 0.1 patch. Anyway, other than that, with my afternoons, I've also been playing still a bit of Dead by Daylight, honestly. I got Miss Michaela all the way up to level 40 so I could get her booners. If what I'm talking about is that she can boon totems is what they do, is what she does.
Oh, thanks for the clarification.
Yes.
Making sense.
So we sometimes on streams and stuff, we say her booners. So I got Chris her booners, which is my main. I like to play Chris. And now I'm and Dark Sakura as a killer, I'm sure loves the booners. No, she doesn't, because all killers hate the booners.
Honestly, okay, I'm booners. Kind of indifferent.
Oh, I can't stand Shadow Unless, Step as a killer.
I'll be honest, I don't notice, because who do I play?
Ah, yeah, fair.
Pig Freddy?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't really seem that badly affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
But
others, it's Spirit, who's one that I play a lot, sucks. When there's no scratch marks, that sucks. So, yeah. But anyway, so I've been playing a little bit of that as well. And then really the only thing...
Oh, but imagine how much a scratch me or Myers would fuck them over.
Really the only other game I can really talk about, I've been playing a lot of GPS games. Ingress, Pikmin, and Pokemon, all of them. I've walked 30,000 steps this weekend, no joke. There was a Pikmin community day yesterday and a Pokemon day, and there was a lot going on in Ingress. So between all of that, I walked 19,000 steps yesterday. I was pretty much just out like all day walking around doing stuff. But that was, I mean, honestly, it felt really good, and I was having fun. Yeah, there was a Pikmin community day, which was, you know, if you walk 10,000 steps, you get like a special little badge. And there were poinsettias because the game's all about flowers showing up. But Pikmin's a little more passive. It's a bit of a set and forget it. But I met up with some of my friends from Ingress. Like there was probably a group of about 8 of us, and it was great because since we were all walking around and planting flowers together, pretty much the minute we got to a flower, there were so many of us, it was just, it takes like 300 flowers to bloom. You have to walk around a little bit, but if there's 8 of you, we were just walking right down K Street, bam, 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 like every flower was turning into a poinsettia. So that was kind of fun. So doing that in a group, and then of course Pokemon Go community day, which is like the climax of all the other days throughout the year, is like the revival day, the encore day, so you could get all the other ones. That was going on both Saturday and Sunday, and I actually got quite a few shinies just from Bluetooth catching. I was actually pulling up my game. I felt like I had a Shane weekend of shinies. I got like 22 shinies or something like that. Just random shit around the board. Even a couple of 3-stars. I was really happy. I got a 3-star Machop. So that's always nice because you can actually use that one in battles and so forth. Hold on. I'm looking right now to see like how many more shinies I got. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 22. Oh, wow. I called it right the first time. 22 shinies. How about that? So, yeah, I had a productive weekend in those games. So, yay, fitness. So 19,000 steps yesterday and 11,000 this morning. I walked for 5 miles this morning. Just up and down downtown, just catching Pokemon and get my steps in. So it was good. And then I think I did a banner in Ingress while I did all that. So, man, it's funny because Niantic had this thing where during Pikmin and Pokemon Community Day on Saturday, it was like, find these ambassadors in parks because they're going to have some limited swag to find. Well, here's the funny thing. Okay, so we look at the list, and you guys will get this, and then we'll explain it to the listeners. So we're based in Sacramento, California. So for the location where the Niantic ambassador was supposed to be, the Niantic ambassador was going to be at Cesar Chavez Park. Now, do you guys know why Cesar Chavez Park is not the best place for a Niantic ambassador to be? That is where pretty much the entirety of like the homeless population congregates. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they were literally on Saturday doing a giveaway of blankets in the park, and it was just full of all of that going on. So what apparently happened was that the Niantic ambassador said, fuck it, and went to the smarter place, Capitol Park. But of course, they didn't post or tell anybody about that. And my friends like randomly found them in front of the Capitol. And do you know what the big giveaway was? These signs that looked like they were left over from Pokemon Go Fest were on one side. It said, I'm willing to trade. And on the other side, it says looking for. And you write in your Pokemon with a Sharpie or something like that. That was what? The big giveaway. Yeah. So, and I'm like,
that's,
you know, kind of
ridiculous.
And a lot of people were saying like that the Niantic representatives knew nothing about Ingress. They only knew about Pokemon Go. Like, it was very clear that these people don't really work for Niantic, which of course they don't. They were brought in by marketing agencies and things like that to just fill in for the day. But it's just funny because I'm thinking, like, here I am going, I play Ingress, I play Pikmin, I play Pokemon Go. I even played Wizards Unite for about 6 months before I stopped. If it's a GPS game, I've tried it. So it's just really funny to me how, like, I don't know. I'm like, maybe I should just sign up for one of these companies and volunteer to do it. But then I guess maybe it would be a conflict of interest with this show. I don't know, but I'm still like, just, it's just silly. Anyway, but yeah, good. Lots of exercise on my gaming week. DJ Roma S in chat says, so Rob is making his way downtown. So you did walk 1,000 miles. Not 1,000, but I would say 13 between yesterday and today. So I'll take it, right? All right. Let's get into our gaming weeks. And we're going to start off with Loki with a topic. Oh, quick housekeeping note, actually, before we get into stories, because I've been asked a couple times, are there going to be shows next week? And the answer is yes. There will still be a show on December 26th. Because it's the 26th, and so we'll be doing that. What's that?
I can't wait. Never mind. I'm mathing wrong.
No, you're fine. So there will be a show then, and then there will be a show on January 2nd as well. So we'll be here. So I think Jamie's not here one of those weeks, but we'll still have a show. So
we'll see how I feel.
Yeah.
The one on closer to New Year's is around when my sleep study is. So.
Fair enough. Yeah. You got to do what you got to do for you. If it's just Loki and I and Stella holding down the fort for a night, then so be it. We will still be planning to bring you the shows those weekends because we're hardworking podcasters. Dang it. No, I'm sure a lot of people are taking the week off who very much deserve it. But honestly, I have nothing better to do next Sunday or the Sunday after. So why not do OLR? That's my real answer. I have nothing better to do. All right. Let's get into some news. Getting to a story that we kind of referenced at the top of the show, but let's get into it, Loki.
Yeah, so last week we had Ubisoft announce their NFT platform Quartz that no one liked and disliked the hell out of it for the announcement video, and then eventually Ubisoft pulled that from YouTube. Now there's comments coming from the posting on their internal social media hub, Mana, that basically developers have access to. And so with that, there was developers expressing numbers of different concerns about it. One, what problems are they trying to solve with this feature, I guess? What are they trying to accomplish with this? The negative connotation that NFTs have and just, other issues with it. So, for example, one of the developers was saying, I don't really understand the problems being solved here. Is it really worth the extreme negative publicity that this will cause? How can you look at private property, speculation, artificial scarcity, and egoism and say, yes, this is good. I want that. Let's put it in art. Another developer was saying, I normally try to stay positive on our announcements, but this one's upsetting. Then going down with that as well, there's other concerns that folks are just going to manipulate, the games to be able to get some of these NFTs. So one of the Ghost Recon Breakpoint NFTs that they had, or I guess, I can't remember they're calling them in Quartz, but basically in order to get the special helmet, you had to play 600 hours of a game in order to earn it. So what they're going to do now is just have people that are mining crypto by AFK farming these games for hours to get this helmet that they can turn around and sell, which we've already seen this in games that don't have, NFTs in it, like Halo. They were doing that to kind of grind through the game. So it's bad. It's really bad. And it's like, why are they even getting into this in the first place, aside from that it's a buzzword and all that stuff? Well, some other speculation says that maybe it's to boost some of their metrics. So Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot has basically also said that NFTs are just the beginning. They're talking about he was talking about some other things, more just like kind of tech buzzwords, like metaverse, oh God, it's such cringe, Web 3.0 and stuff like that. And unfortunately, one of the buzzwords he didn't talk about was accountability for the widespread allegations of sexual misconduct. So that's one of those features that's not going to be part of this new plan.
I'm sorry to laugh, but I appreciate a good dragging from Loki. That's what I'm laughing at. Loki's
anytime we mention Ubisoft or Activision, it's always going to be a dragging. That's my guarantee. So apparently, it sounds like that. Going back to the kind of tinfoil hat thought of some of these metrics. So say you have to log over 600 hours in game, and they don't really care necessarily that people are just kind of AFKing in the game because it boosts their monthly average user scores or rankings, I guess, numbers. So it looks better for, I don't know, maybe advertisers that they're working with, maybe investors. It's a way to kind of boost those numbers when artificially, I guess. There's another developer saying here, I'm here to make games to promote fun and entertainment, and I don't see how this is going in that direction. It's just another way to milk money. Yeah, it is. That's what it is. That's what they're doing.
S.J. 100 Matt in chat says, cool story, Eves. Tell me again how you know what's best for me and gamers when you can't honestly tell your employees they're safe from abuse in the workplace. I mean, drop the mic.
The tea is hot.
Yves Guillemot is a toxic presence in this industry, just like Bobby Kotick. And as far as I'm concerned, both of them can fuck off into the sun, and that would be a great thing for this industry. I do not need Yves Guillemot to tell me what I want. Fuck all the way off. I will be voting with my wallet, and this is a hard no on this stuff. Yeah. You know, and here's my word of warning to these CEOs who think they know everything. I'm gonna say why I'm smarter than Yves Guillemot. I'm not gonna say I know everything, but I know I'm smarter than that motherfucker, and I'm gonna tell you exactly why. Because where this is gonna lead, he says, "Oh, well, you know, people didn't want loot boxes in the industry." I would say they probably still don't. I think folks have tolerated them, but look where loot boxes ended up. Where are loot boxes now? Tied up within the government, just like your company's sexual harassment issue. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. But they're getting these loot box issues are getting tied up within the government. And now the government is set to regulate and pass rules around this stuff because you all can't play nice in your quest to make money. Do you know what's going to happen to NFTs? Do you know where the crypto industry is headed? There.
Regulations.
Just you want.
And honestly, it'll be necessary. We know what happens when an industry is unregulated.
Mm-hmm. Sell enough of these and brag for $20,000 or whatever the fuck you think you're really going to get for stolen deviant art. Go ahead and guess where this is going to end up. Regulation City, Tax Central. Enjoy it. You played yourselves.
Don't even understand why the push to go into the space in the first place. They were so close to running afoul of all these gambling laws because, you know, they were saying, well, hey, some of these things that you can get in these games, you could turn around and sell for real money. Like, whoa, hold on. It's not real money because you're using, you know, in-game gems or whatever. And so you can't really take it out of this marketplace to make real cash out of it. But now you can. So, like, are you just saying, hey, come regulate us? I mean, because that's kind of what you're doing. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just so stupid that you would even, like, you just, like, squeaked by without getting in trouble for this. And now it's like, okay, now we're going to double down on that. Okay, well, now you're going to get in trouble. Like,
how's that working out for you? How's that going to work out for you? Just, you know, give it a year. Just wait. Dumb.
Mike Deft in chat says, Mexico is already taxing crypto, so LOL. To be fair, it is actually already happening here in the States. I want to say any brokerage or whatever, when they do more than $10,000 of crypto or something like that, maybe it's even $1,000. I'm sorry, I don't have the latest numbers, but a high amount of crypto, they have to report it to the IRS when there's a transaction, and you do have to claim that stuff on your taxes as an income. So, like, it's starting, but obviously the threshold is still pretty high right now. But just you wait until they want to tax these NFTs. You know, it just hasn't gotten there yet. The government's lagging behind, as usual. But it's going to get there. And again, y'all played yourself for throwing so much into this industry. Like, it's just ridiculous. Bobby says that's why they want everything to be in crypto, so they don't need to use U.S. dollars at all. You can only hold the money in a Swedish bank for so long before, you know, if you want to spend it here, it's going to have to cross the line. But I suppose if you want to hold it in a foreign bank forever and then retire to El Salvador, then that's on you, I guess, in your plan.
And let's say hypothetically that we get to some future where some sort of standardized cryptocurrency is accepted around the planet and we're away from physical money. Well, guess what they're going to tax you in? They're going to tax you in the cryptocurrency. So, sorry, you can't get around it. No. That's just what's going to happen. So if you think that it's going to get to that point where there's a standard, you know, cryptocurrency that everybody's using, like Bitcoin or something like that, Ethereum, they're going to just tax you in that. It's going to, you're going to have to pay in Ethereum or in Bitcoin.
If they don't tax the currency itself, the taxes will come out in the use of the currency.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you were gonna buy X item, you have X surcharge for the use of cryptocurrency.
Phoenix7726 in chat says, "To be fair, a lot of billion grifters have gotten away with worse." Oh, I know. Two wrongs don't make a right. Like it's, you know, yeah.
The two lefts do. Wait, three lefts do.
Three lefts do. Anyway, but at the end of the day, if the populace wants to reject this, they have the power to do so. If the populace wants to reject Ubisoft games, such as this particular one that is feeling like an act of desperation at this point, then they should do that. And so the companies will stop selling this shit as long as you stop buying it. That's what it is at the end of the day. So
facts.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about things worth your money, I think. More mini consoles. Who doesn't love a mini console? These things are all the rage, of course, since the Nintendo NES Classic Mini kind of dominated a few holiday seasons ago. And now we've seen lots of minis since then, right? We've seen a Commodore Mini. I just saw at Target the other day this tiny-ass fucking Atari that actually had, like, a TV built into it. It was, like, no bigger than my phone. To like play Atari things. I thought that was cute. I didn't buy it though. But
that particular one has been out for a little bit, hasn't it?
Oh, has it? I've just never seen it, I guess. But see, they're everywhere. But anyway, we have another new kind of mini console launching in March, but we just got some more information on it. I think it was going to launch this holiday and it got pushed back. You know, COVID issues, shipping chain, supply chain, blah, 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 blah. So now the Amiga A500 Mini is coming in March of 2022. And it's for some people, this is kind of an obscure, I think, system. But I think it's one of those systems like worth your time in learning about and knowing. And plus, you know, for those real classic gaming enthusiasts or Commodore enthusiasts or people who grew up around the name Amiga, I think it's really going to tickle some people, the fact that this exists. And this is really cool. So Retro Game Limited kind of unveiled that this is coming out on March 25th, 2022. And even though this was originally announced in August, now we know what the games are that are going to be in it, including Alien Breed 3D, Battle Chess. I remember that game. That was on PC as well. Pinball Dreams, which is a real fucking classic Amiga game. If you're a pinball fan, that is seriously one of the best, like, game pinball things that has ever existed. Worms the Director Cut, Stunt Car Racer, Supercars 2, Dragon's Breath. I mean, there's lots and lots of games here, and I kind of want one. I think it looks fun. So, yeah, that'll be coming out in March, and it will cost $140, but it includes an integrated keyboard with the Mini, and that's pretty cool. I see a little mouse attachment and a controller as well. I'm not sure if that's included or what. I didn't see that in the list, but I think that's still kind of neat. Dark Soccer, any love for the Amiga? Any love for an Amiga Mini?
Maybe.
Okay, and Bobby says it is included and that this comes from the same company that did the C64 Mini. So that makes sense. That's pretty cool. Well, it makes sense if they have the Commodore license, kind of use that. And the Commodore 64 Mini was well done, so I like that. Dark Tetsuya with an Amiga memory in chat says, "I didn't have an Amiga growing up, but in junior high, I helped the AV class rig a homemade closed caption device for our school tape." So that's kind of cool. So neat. I think I might get one. We'll see. We'll see what.
Did you ever get the Commodore 64?
I have the Mini because Loki got it for me as a present one year, but I never got the full one with the full size keyboard. But I have the Mini.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. Dark Saga.
So, a lot of people have been super into Hades. I mean, since it came out, I have it. I really should play it. It's a really pretty game. It's really awesome. But, Hades won a Hugo Award.
Fancy.
It's the first, pardon me?
I said fancy.
Yeah, it's the first video game to win a Hugo Award. it basically won the one-time award for Best Video Game. It beat out Animal Crossing and Last of Us Part 2. And this is pretty awesome. I mean, the... I even would put this like up as a pretty big deal. I mean, the Hugo Awards are there for science fiction fantasy works, and to have video games now included in it, even if it's just, you know, the one category for now,
mm-hmm.
was pretty big. But to have, you know, an effectively indie game win it,
uh-huh.
that you beating out some pretty big titles, it's pretty awesome, I think.
Well, the Hades is also a great choice, of course. I think that kind of goes without saying. But just, you know, a lot of the narrative and stuff. And especially how, you know, this acknowledgement, I mean, one could argue, you know, it's just another silly award or whatever. But I think it does sort of show, like, the general pop culture awareness or whatever, our culture sort of uplifting video games and accepting it more and more as an art form. That's what
it
I sort of
art
see.
Form. Yeah, it's well, always been an art form. Yeah. We knew this, and yeah, now we're the adults.
I know we've always said this, but now I feel like the rest of society is kind of catching up, right? And I think, like you said, Dark Saga, we are the adults now, and I think as our generation is growing up, now you see these types of awards getting, you know, video games getting uplifted more.
I don't look at it as like the rest of everybody's, you know, falling in line with it. The fact that we are the line now.
Fair. I got that.
That, I mean, you still have, you know, probably the older generations are like, oh, video games, meh. But for us, who are now the ones making these decisions,
mm-hmm.
we are the ones, those of us who were in our, you know, 30s and 40s, who had a NES as a kid or an Atari or ColecoVision, me. We're the ones making these decisions now. We're the ones who are in that specific age group that are behind these decisions. And I'm not surprised at all. I'm happy for it.
Mm-hmm. So, Bobby Lockwolf in chat says, I think it's one category, period. I don't think this category is returning next year. So, I mean, that's unfortunate if it's not. Hopefully a lot of this buzz that this is generating and some of this discussion will, if they don't plan on bringing it back, we'll have them reconsider, because I think it is absolutely something that should be included in the ceremony. Why not? And Woman Unsilenced in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, that's it. You are the line, with a thumbs up there for Dark Sakura. So.
Yep.
All right.
And honestly, though, I mean, this is just, I would hope to see this category return. I mean, honestly, same. I think it would become, it really should be there as an ongoing category. But then again, there are specific... I'm not even gonna give the video game awards any kind of like real thing anymore, because now it's just a big advertisement. You know, I think that we should have a dedicated video game award that's simply for artistry in video games.
Well, about the, not the BAFTA, but there's one overseas that I think kind of aspires to do that, and the name is escaping me in the moment.
Yeah.
And Bobby Blackwolf is pointing out that GDC has one and no one watches it. So that is an interesting sort of point to bring up, is that the Game Awards, even though, yes, there's a lot of advertisements and stuff, because they've got all these exclusives and things that they pull into it, they've got the viewers, whereas the DICE Awards and these sorts of things, little heart. I don't even know if they broadcast them online or anything like that. So they're little, they might, but if they do, they don't get a lot of talk, because maybe they don't have a lot of this other stuff, and maybe we need to be supporting it more on Twitch or wherever they're broadcasting it. I don't know. And SJ100 Matt does point out the video game awards need to sell ads, or there would be no video game awards. So
I'm not saying that they don't need to sell ads, but they are pretty much now specifically almost like this big walking advertisement now.
I just think they don't need to blur the line so much between what is an ad and what isn't. And that's just like they try to make it a big illusion and all that stuff. And I think, you know, people have watched enough TV over the years. They've seen enough Oscar ceremonies or whatever, Grammys, whatever it is you watch, where, you know, we'll be right back after the break with, isn't it, like, people will. But I get it. They don't want people to leave and get up and use the bathroom and stuff. They want people to stay and watch the commercials. But, you know, I think a lot of people are just like, you need to stop blurring the line between what's a commercial and, you know, what's part of the actual ceremonies. So anyway. All right. Anyhow, let's move on with some more stories. Loki.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about more abuse. So now Bungie's HR head has stepped down because they had reported executives for abuse. And apparently there has been, you know, I think we talked about last week about allegations of workplace culture crunch, hiring practices within Bungie that aren't necessarily what people like to see. And, you know, basically they've said, you know, when they left that, you know, I know that they need to be trusted to be your advocates, not labeled as enablers or seen as company resources who provide bad actors with safe harbor. That it's been the time that she's spent there has been deeply challenging, with deeply challenging interpersonal conflicts, and included that was it firing colleagues for performance, bad behavior, and for discrimination, racism, and sexual harassment. And basically says that, you know, she had suffered similar experiences on her own from a man, an executive, and someone that they thought was their friend at Bungie, which resulted in Bungie firing them. So, looks like they did take action against the one person that was an executive, but the culture still exists. So, we've seen this before. I think even Activision, we've had people leave that were the head of HR and stuff because of similar stuff. So hopefully that after they get done looking at these other companies, we look at Bungie now.
It's a broken fucking record in this industry at this point. And it's something that, you know, I know it sounds weird to cheer on that the government is coming in and investigating it and doing something about it. But I need the government to do something to Activision that's going to scare the hell out of the rest of the leads and CEOs of these various companies, you know, because it's like week after week. We have these stories on the show about, like, it's not just about which company anymore. It's about the industry. This is an industry problem. And, you know, we just had this discussion about the Hugo Awards and trying to get accepted as an art form and all this stuff. Here's the other side of it. If video games want to be taken seriously as an art form, they need to take out the fucking trash. You know, and at least we see it's kind of starting to happen in some places. Although, unfortunately, Bobby Kotick is still employed. Yeah, I think they're really just trying to wait it out to see if people will forget and stop complaining about it.
People will forget and stop complaining about it.
Well, allow me to complain about it. Bobby Kotick is still employed at Activision, and that pisses me off. So I will be here to remind you.
It doesn't directly affect me, so why do I care?
Yeah, exactly. But video games. Video games.
I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be troubled by all this news. I just want to play my Call of Duty. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, but like,
God, but look at what the dumb fuck standard is bringing us in the industry. You just had the story about NFTs and, oh, well, this is where the industry is going, like it or not. Says you. Get the fuck out. Says you, the person who enables sexual harassment under your watch. Yeah. SG100 Matt says, abuse has been rampant in the industry for decades, and we're just hearing about it now because folks are coming forward now. Shitbags are on notice and should be running scared. Their days are numbered. There's been a lot of shady things that have run rampant in the industry for a very long time. Drugs. I don't know if they still do, but go back to the 80s when this industry first started, you know, it was really growing. Drugs.
How many games were built on cocaine?
Were rampant through this industry. How do you think some of those games got built so fast by one person working long days? And now I've seen documentaries where they say, yeah, I was inspired to do this from a cocaine trip I was having at the time. You know, like, you know, so the industry is always had its issues, and this is just an issue that really needs fixing. Let's see. Phoenix 7726 says, send regulators in, start fining them millions a hit for each incident of sexual harassment, then bring up the heads on charges for being accessories to a crime. I don't know if it's going to go that far realistically, but I think some of which, I mean, not that I disagree, but I just, I'm also kind of a realist in how the government works sometimes. And I think some of what you're saying is starting to, it's just everything the government moves at a fucking glacial pace, but it's starting. And I think of it this way. Go ahead, Darsagra.
I'm going to disagree with DJ Ron Met S in chat. I don't think that's all excessive at all. They all need to be held accountable, and they need to be held super accountable. They're all garbage, and they need to be treated as such. The end.
I don't think it's I think it's just unrealistic. Like, that's this thing. It's just, it's not going to happen. Like, it's, I'm not trying to say I disagree or anything like that. It's just, again, the government's only going to be able to go so far. But anyway, I mean, again, refer to the comment earlier about like billionaires that still get away with tax things and how, you know, you all know what I mean. But anyway, where was I going with this? We wouldn't even be talking about these issues at Activision Blizzard right now, I don't think, if the government had not stepped in and filed the charges that they did to bring this to the limelight and give voice to the people that were consistently being silenced. So I realize we all have our criticisms of the government, which are completely fair. But in this particular case, like, the government did its job finally, slowly. But it finally led to this discussion where we're at now. So anyway, let's move on and talk about, speaking of retro games that may or may not have been done on drugs. I don't know if the drugs were still in the industry by the time the Sega Genesis was a thing, but probably a little bit. There are some new Sega Genesis games that are coming to Nintendo Switch Online, which I think is kind of fun. Five more Sega Genesis games coming to Switch Online, including Altered Beast, Toe Jam and Earl, Dynamite Heady, Sword of Vermilion, and Thunder Force 2. And I think four of those games are in the prior sold Genesis collection on the last generation of consoles. But cool, if you're an expansion pack member, you get those games. And you also get Paper Mario that was just added a week ago. If you do not have the expansion pack, you get Jack and Shit. Congratulations. Which we all knew was going to be the problem once Nintendo launched this expansion pack, was that the expansion pack was the only thing that was going to get shown any love. So I guess it is what it is, huh? By the way, Japan getting the exact same lineup. Sometimes there's differences between what Japan gets and what we get, but that is not the case with this. I have another kind of like random Nintendo side tangent with this that was kind of brought to my attention by Dark Tetsuya, which I think is interesting. I have to admit, I think I've maybe seen this maybe one time ever. But this show's been running a long time online, the Nintendo Minute. They've been going since 2013. Oh, those young kids, those young newbies. But that's still a long time, an impressive time, what, 8 years that they've been going. 400 episodes of that have happened, but they're not going to be doing the Nintendo Minute anymore. The last episode ever was released on YouTube, and it's called The Final Episode. And then the hosts of the show give their final words. I don't know why they did this or why now, and don't know if there's going to be a replacement or anything like that, but kind of interesting, I guess, that this just kind of happened out of the blue. I feel sorry for those hardworking hosts, unless it was their choice, but I don't know. I have a feeling it wasn't. So, all right, moving on. Loki, maybe I should have had you go after the Darsagra story, because I think this is a interesting follow-up.
Yeah. Let's see here. Hold on. It pulled up the wrong story here for me.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says the hosts will still be working at Nintendo, but in other roles. But we don't know if those roles are on camera or not. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Loki.
I think this is actually Jamie's.
You are correct. It is my turn. And I just was like, what?
Sorry. I make mistakes too. Darsagra, go ahead.
There is a company called Vodio Games, did a game called Beast Breaker not long ago. They have partnered with Code CWA, and they now have the first video game union. They have Voltage organized workers, United Piezo worker, Paizo workers. They've been really influenced by some of those other ones, and their union is called the Vodio Workers United. It represents all of their eligible employees. More than half of them are independent contractors, and it is was basically voluntarily recognized by the company, and they will they don't have the National Labor Relations Board vote, but they, I'm sorry, they won't have to force the vote, but they'll be able to go with negotiations for an equitable workplace, to work with benefits, you know. And one of the ones they're working on is a 4-day work week. So they're work. I mean, there's also a few other international ones that they're sort of working with to try to bring some of the same things about. But I think it's about time, and maybe this, you know, company here will set a good example.
Comment from Bobby Blackwolf in our chat, who says, I'm just curious how bad that culture was that necessitated them to form a union to get better working conditions. Maybe, I mean, there might have been things here or there at that company that we don't know about, but maybe it was the industry problems that caused that. Just like, hey, we see what's going on over here and over there and over there, and we don't want to be like that. I mean, I
have something to say about that.
Oh, please.
Code CWA campaign lead, her name is Emma Kinema. Basically, this is her quote about Vodeo as an example. They're not organizing because there's some big scary boss like Bobby Kotick or someone. They're organizing because they care so much about the work that they do. They want more say over how it's done, the conditions in which they work to actually make those games they care about.
Hmm.
So this came up because they love their company that they work for and what they do there.
Interesting. At least
that answers that.
In writing, that's what's said. But I think there's certainly an element of that that's true. I'm not going to discount the words, but I think there's probably an unspoken piece there, because I'm kind of reading between the lines when they say, you know, the Bobby Kotick part. You know, like there is a comparison to something else going on in the industry that they don't want to become. So I do kind of read in between the lines a little bit there. So there's what's said and what's unsaid. All right, moving on. Now I think we're over to Loki.
Yes. So we talked about this feature that Twitch was adding where you could basically pay to win boost your channel to get more recommendation or featured in more recommendations for users. And apparently there was 125 people who took part in that feature. And it didn't do very much. So it didn't really have much of an impact at all, and was a waste of money. So basically, they said after looking at all of the different, you know, the different view counts between those that were using that service and not, there was a negligible difference. And in terms of my data, they said that there is no conclusive evidence to suggest that Boost had any kind of impact on their streams. It's almost like it didn't happen. So it sounded scammy to begin with, and it still sounds scammy.
Are you telling me that Link Exchange didn't work at the end of the day?
No. You know, you're probably, better off using like one of those shady Fiverr services or something like that, you know, to get more views if that's what you're looking for. But
that's against TOS, so yeah.
Oh, okay, that's against TOS.
I have to say that on the record, it's against TOS.
I understand, but I'm like, it's against TOS, but not if we do it, you know, through the official service. But yeah.
Oh, Twitch themselves does it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I just don't think, you know, the front page on Twitch is pretty cluttered. Like, you get the one broadcaster that shows up by default, and then it's like within the bar, there's six other things to pick from. Then there's, you know, what you're subscribed to. There's a bunch of, or following, there's a bunch of those. Then there's like what's popular on Twitch, a bunch of those. Recommended for you, a bunch of those. Like, you're literally presented with like 50 different options on the front page of something to watch. And by the way, there is no front page when you're watching on some of the apps. Like, it's a very different type of front page. So, and I think a lot of people are using apps to watch Twitch, and I'm not sure that little scheme to get more visibility really worked when it came to some of the apps and all that stuff. So I think it's time to
rethink. If I may.
Yeah.
I was watching Hydro the other day,
because
I'm usually hanging out in his channel during the first part of my days before work. And I think he made, like, he did, like, the front page thing, and I want to say it didn't really make a whole lot of difference.
Which is, yeah, where the study ended up, too. I mean, no surprise,
but,
right?
But I mean, but we know somebody who has done this.
Sure.
Yeah. And it didn't really pan out. I mean, I might be wrong, but I remember hearing him say that it didn't really do much. So all just right. as a first-person account.
All right. Well, moving on to something I hinted at during my gaming week, and that is that there's some major things that are coming to Final Fantasy XIV with this latest expansion, of course, clogging up the game and the queues. The Square Enix has finally taken kind of a radical step, which I'm actually kind of surprised in a pleasant sort of way. I know it's weird, but they have stopped selling Final Fantasy XIV. They are suspending the sales and the delivery of the Starter Edition and the Complete Edition. So if you've decided you want to start playing Final Fantasy XIV, you're going to have to find one on a retail shelf somewhere, because there is no way to get digital copies right now because the game is full. And honestly, truly, as much as I love the game, and I've talked about it here on this show for years, I've been playing since Realm Reborn, I've been talking about this game a long time. Now is not the time to start playing until they figure all this shit out. And it may be a couple months. Yeah. Or coming back. Because I think about, like, Bobby, who hasn't played since A Realm Reborn. Or even Alan. My husband also stopped shortly into Heavensward. Now is not the time to come back. Because these queues and stuff, even though the expansion is really, really fucking good, the state of the servers is going to test your patience. And I don't know how many people are willing to put up with it, quite frankly. It's not a good way to show your game for the first time. Now, I should say physical copies of this are affected. So when I say you got to find one on the shelf, I mean, you got to find one on the shelf now that hasn't been pulled yet. So they will still sell the expansion. So if you're already in the game and you just need Endwalker, they'll still happily sell that to you. They also increased the free time that, so you might remember a couple weeks ago, they gave away 7 days of free game time. They're now up to 21 days of free game time for those that are subbed to the game right now. So damn near a month, just short of it, but 21 days of free game time because of the issues going on. So at least there's that, is that, you know, these issues have been going on for just short of 3 weeks, about 2.5 weeks. Friday, it'll be 3 weeks. And they've given away 3 weeks of game time. And I have a feeling they're going to continue to keep giving them away until they get these queue issues sorted. There is a patch coming out on Tuesday that's supposed to fix the disconnection error so that you won't get booted out of line when you're in the line. But it's not going to fix the queues. There's still going to be a wait to get into the game. So I think that's kind of interesting. So... again, another apology from Naoki Yoshida in the latest statement. 21 days, an additional 14 days being given. So 21 days total. That's a pretty big step to stop selling your game, and they're not making the monthly fee off of it. But you know that they didn't refund anybody who bought that expansion. So that's where they're making their money right now, is off the sales of that expansion, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of people who are playing the game like myself bought. So they are also talking about that they will have a roadmap in January on how they're going to address some of these issues, like getting some new servers for North America and Europe. And I think
there's one thing about games I love. It's roadmaps.
That's true. But to be fair to the Final Fantasy team, they've been doing these for a while in their letters to the editor. They do roadmaps pretty often. And for the most part, they've stuck to them, COVID aside, which I think we can give them a buy on. So when they have their roadmap, I think it'll be pretty close to what's happening there. All right, let's take a trip down memory lane in our next segment to a game that I think you can still buy today. But first, the intro.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And what did you pick for us this week, Dark Sakura?
VVVVVV.
Oh, I love that game.
Me too.
Yeah, it's old
also
enough.
Also hate that game.
Yeah.
So there's certain screens of that game.
It is a game that came out in 2010. It's a puzzle platforming game that was created by Terry Cavanaugh. You play a character named Captain Viridian who has to rescue their crew after a teleporter malfunction that sent them all to that dimension of the same name. You can't jump. You have to change the direction of your gravity. And so it's got about over 400 different rooms. You also can have user-created levels. It was originally built in Flash, January 11th, 2010. Came out for Windows and OS X. It was ported to C++ by Simon Roth in 2011 and released as part of the Humble Indie Bundle number 3. That particular port allowed it to come out for Linux, Pandora, Nintendo 3DS, and for Switch. So yeah, really the big thing about the game was the fact that you changed the direction of the gravity. It was influenced by a game that came out in 1986 called Terminus, an 8-bit game, that you had to avoid hazards by changing gravity in the game. And then there's also different areas that have like moving floors, different like edge jumps and different things like that. By jump, I just mean like the character, like I guess, kind of teleports. So like if you touch the edge of the screen, they show up on the other edge. It has 8 main levels, including an intro level, and then 4 that can be accessed in a nonlinear sequence. You have intermission levels, final level, and it's basically just like super exploration with a lot of anger. A lot of anger, frustration, breaking controllers, throwing things around. It's really hard. At any rate, it was based off of an earlier game that Cavanaugh did called Sine Wave Ninja. He wanted to use the concept for that game to make something a little bit more widespread. It was first unveiled through his blog on June 2009. It had been in development for about 2 weeks. And the game was finished in about another 2 weeks after that. So it was really also inspired by Commodore 64 games from the 80s, like Monty on the Run and Jet Set Willy. The whole thing behind that was the shiny object in a really hard-to-find location, the sort of tantalizing item that's just out of reach. And then it has like a bunch of different strange elements in it, that are, add a little bit of surrealism, I think, to the game, including the sad elephant, which has also been nicknamed the elephant in the room, which is basically a large elephant that has one tear coming from its eye, and it spans 4 rooms in the space station area. And it changes color. So the sad elephant. But the sad elephant was actually from dream journals that were kept by Terry Cavanaugh and not from Jet Set Willy. So anyway, it was released on January 11th, 2010 for Windows and Mac OS X. There was a trial version that was on the website Kongregate with a K. The Linux version was still being developed, but it was hard to port. And so eventually it was rewritten in C++ by another developer named Simon Roth in 2011. And then that led to the Linux implementation to happen. This was considered version 2.0 of VVVVVV. And that launched on July 24, 2011 in the 3rd Humble Indie Bundle. It also had custom levels and a level editor. And then it let you... It led to new graphic modes and different speed improvements, but it didn't support the saved games from the Flash version, of course. And a lot of people got this version on Steam without any warning. Apparently they're still working on a save file exporter. So, yay. There was a version that came out on Nintendo 3DS. It came out December 29th, 2011 in North America, May 10th, 2012 in Europe. And then it actually did get a Japanese release on October 12th, 2016 via the publisher Peaky. And then a demo of the early levels reported to the Commodore 64. Pretty cool, huh, Rob?
Yeah, I didn't realize and then they ported it kind of backwards in a way, because, you know, obviously I love this game because it's very reminiscent of Commodore 64.
There's a full port of it now on Commodore 64.
That's awesome.
That came out in April 2017. And then the 10th anniversary of the game's release in January 2020, the source code was made public on GitHub.
Oh, cool.
Soundtrack is all chiptune, done by musician Magnus Pison, also known as Soul Eye. And he was approached by Kavanaugh after playing a game called Space Phallus, which is an indie game by Charlie's Games, and he did one of the songs in it. And so the soundtrack is actually out called PPPPPP, which was released alongside VVVVVV as a music download or as a CD on Pison's personal website. There's also a power metal version of the soundtrack called MMMMMM that has it was arranged and performed by a guitarist named Jules Conroy. And the album has a mod file that replaces the in-game chiptune music with the metal tracks. Oh. And there is a full LP now. It's a picture LP that came out January 11th, 2020 by Materia Collective. And it was really, really well received. Metacritic overall was 81 out of 100 for the Windows version and 83 out of 100 for the 3DS version. It's really been highly lauded. The highest ranked version of it was the iOS version. So take that as you will. Maybe it's easier to play with a touchscreen. Who knows? It was also awarded the Indiecade 2010 Award for Most Fun and Compelling Game in October 2010. Gamasutra gave it their year-end independent game award, second place and an honorable mention in 2010. So the game's protagonist, Captain Viridian, is a playable character in the Windows version of the game, Super Meat Boy. So there you go. V-V-V-V-V.
What a great, 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 great pick for Classic Game of the Week. I mean, obviously.
Maybe we should call it V-V-V-V.
I think the
which is the sound I make playing it.
I think the soundtrack to this game in particular is really incredible. I like the game too. It's so like it's just such a simple concept. All it is that instead of jumping, you flip gravity, and I don't even know how to phrase it. Like there's just the intensity of the game that showed up as a result of that pretty simple twist is really outstanding. And this is really like honestly, I think one of the all time great games. It's so good. Looking at some comments in chat here, SJ100 Matt says, "I remember an early GDQ. They Skyped in Kavanaugh during the run for the game. They broke his own game with glitches in front of him, and his mind was blown." Yes, there's that moment. And I think a lot of people kind of associate this game with a certain era of the Humble Bundle before it became just another shop online. People were really finding some strong indie classics like this through the Humble Bundle and would still buy them on a platform like the 3DS like I did just because the game's that good. And I saw someone else in chat was saying, oh, yay, you know, I 100%ed this game on 3DS. And that's pretty amazing. So great, great pick, Dark Saga. Now I kind of want to play this on stream at some point just because it's so rage-inducing. Maybe I will. It does have that Metroid-like quality that I sure love. I don't know what else to call it.
I can only play this game in little bursts before I get like really pissed off. So.
Yeah, right.
So it's more like, how much do I hate myself and want to scream?
Yeah.
And then I'll play that. And then I'll scream and I'll usually feel better after that and turn the game off.
All right. Great pick for the Classic Game of the Week. VVVVV, available literally everywhere. pretty much. I think the only thing you're not going to play that on is a graphing calculator. And to be honest, somebody's probably working on a port. So things to think about. All right, let's move on and talk about some other news in the gaming industry in rapid fire news. Loki, we'll go to you.
Yep. So, we've been talking about a lot of different lawsuits with Sony and Dbrand over their faceplates and stuff, and because Sony was mad that they kind of used the same design. Well, now Sony's finally done it and launched their own faceplates for the PlayStation 5. you can get a bunch of different colors. They have pink, light blue, purple, black, and the crimson, I guess. Here's the official colors. Cosmic Red, Midnight Black, Nova Pink, Starlight Blue, Galactic Purple. They also have Joy-Cons in that same, or the DualShock.
Joy-Cons? I was like, wait a minute.
Joy-Cons, the DualSense 5 stuff. So they have the DualSense controllers as well. So cool. You can buy all those accessories for a system you can't buy. And those are going to be out in the first half of 2022, assuming scalpers don't get to them, in which case they'll be never out again.
The pink one looks so good. I don't have a PS5 because I just, I can't buy one. But if I did, I would want the pink one. I think it looks cool. So someday.
Here's the thing that I don't necessarily understand, though, with these covers. Like, it's cool that it's pink and stuff. But how much would you think you would pay for a plastic cover?
Oh,
like $20?
$30 tops. $29.99.
These are $55.
Yeah, yeah.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
That's why they didn't want the third party folks selling them for cheaper, I guess.
Well, the D brand ones, they did settle that lawsuit, though, because the dark plate ones, they're available. Although they're charging $70 for theirs, so I don't know if it's necessarily better, but it's a piece of plastic. Come on, folks. What's going on? And then this is kind of cool. So, the last Ghostbusters game that we had was pretty awesome, actually, and had a lot of the original cast from the movie. Now we have confirmation, apparently, that there's going to be a new Ghostbusters game. And this is coming from Ernie Hudson, who basically said that, I just got an email because we're doing another video game. They're scheduling it now to do a recording, and I'm not sure who's going to do it. I know it's me and Danny, and I think, I'm not sure if we're going to get Billy, of course, Bill Murray. We'll do anything on it. So there'll be another video game. When they bring it out, I don't know, but it's definitely happening. So very cool to hear that they're making another game.
Yeah, the new movie seemed well received. I haven't seen it, but the movie seemed well received. So I'm not too surprised to hear they're going to go to another game.
Yeah,
they've done some really good Ghostbusters games over the year. I think about the classic one that was on like Commodore, Atari, all the classic systems. That was pretty good for the time. And then they did a game for Ghostbusters 2 that I remember playing with my friends. And I know the movie was a little amped, but the game was kind of fun. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Dark Soccer, what do you have?
So, I'm sorry. I'm throwing up a little bit in my mouth over this.
Yeah.
Netflix is going to be doing a live action Mega Man. No, just no, please. No, no.
That's how I feel.
I mean, Cowboy Bebop was pretty cool. I mean, I need to actually watch a little bit more than just a bit of it.
You got canceled.
Yeah, because there's nothing left.
but no, not this. This isn't something that needs to be live action. I'm sorry. It no, not at all. How are you going to do this one? Is it going to look like the stupid box art that's no good?
Well, you know how they got rid of the model for the Sonic in the Sonic movie? Well, we're just going to put a helmet on him, and that's Mega Man now.
Yeah. At any rate, it's the same people that are behind, The Witcher, which, The Witcher was good. But I don't have hopes for this, so I'm gonna say no. And then for folks who are on Steam, it looks like there's a data mine that indicates that Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade is going to be on Steam. They found some files in the Epic Game Store release, and it indicates a Steamworks folder, which tends to go out with the Steam releases, so it could be a possibility. We'll see.
I'm sure it'll inevitably come to Steam. Most of those Epic
Steam is inevitable.
Do. Yeah, exactly. So
resistance is futile.
I saw an amazing mod, though, because, of course, people are already modding the game. That's the best thing about it coming to PC, where Cloud is in the dress from the very beginning, in the first scene. And so all the cutscenes, or, the stuff that's rendered in the game, have him in the dress. And it's
fierce. I'm going to have to look for that.
It's great. It's great. I saw it on Twitter somewhere. I have actually a quick story here. I was supposed to mention this earlier and I didn't, so I'll mention it now. When I was talking about minis earlier, I was also supposed to bring up this mini, and I think it's pretty interesting. It is a Sega Mini Arcade, another one. So they've already done one, but this is a new one, the Astro City Mini 5. It's a vertical screen mini, so it's going to focus on vertical screen games. So I hope you like your shmups. They call this also Tate mode, for those that speak the lingo. There are 22 games that are in the Mini V, including, let's see, Gunbird, Batsugun, Raiden, Shark, Sonic Wings, Terra Cresta, Zaxxon.
This one sounds good.
Yeah, there's a lot of good shooter stuff. I recognize some classic games of the week from prior in here. This definitely seems like something that
this
should be
in Dark
Souls
House. This would be a set I would want.
Yeah. However, in Japan, where this is the only place it's coming out right now, so you might have to import it, it's set to be 19,000 yen, which is about the equivalent of $172. Oof. So it is a little bit pricey, but, I mean, it is kind of cool. It has some good games in it, so definitely worth a look. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates coming to a retail shelf near you, although I don't expect there's a lot this week, but I've been surprised before. Loki.
No, you're not going to be surprised. There's Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires, and that's coming out on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And that's it.
All right. Then I'll go to Japan. The culture's a little different in Japan, so we do have some releases this week. Not like a ton of stuff. On the 23rd, we see a Japanese release of Star Wars Racer and Commando Combo for the Switch, as well as the Jedi Knight Collection. There's also Tetsudo Nippon Rosen Tabi Sangal Tetsudo Hen comes out. And Shin Sangoku Musou 8 Empires is out in Japan in a regular and limited edition. Sakura no Komo, Scarlet no Koi is also out in a regular and limited edition this week. So still kind of a busy week in Japan for releases.
You know what Christmas is in Japan?
KFC and cake.
And marketing.
Yeah.
we should have KFC.
Oh, that would be fun. If any KFCs
actually,
are
Dan's
open.
Dan's going to buy a propane tank for pizza. So.
And also, I have to get KGC, the grilled chicken, because can't have the idea. Anyway, womp womp, I'm Debbie Downer now. PlayStation 5, we have a little, just one of those titles, the Shin Sengoku Musou 8 Empires is also out on the PlayStation 5 this week in Japan. So, Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
Jeez, Rob. Twice in one show. What are the odds?
You all want to produce and moderate? Go right ahead.
There's jack shit.
All right. All right. That's it for the world release dates then. So let's move on a few more.
No, seriously, the game jack shit is coming. I'm kidding.
All right.
New OLR game, jack shit. What will it be about?
Nothing.
Nothing.
All right. A few more stories for you guys, and then we'll take some calls if anyone's feeling like doing that in our Discord over at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. Let's get to Loki. I think this story's really interesting, so please, Loki.
Yeah, this is kind of a continuation to the one we were talking about a while back. It was another video done by People Make Games, who is a documentary group, and they had covered some of the stuff, the practices on the developer side of Roblox. And what was going on there, how, you know, kids were being kind of pressured into making games and not really being able to profit from those games because Roblox takes such a large cut of the profit on there. Well, as we were talking about with the rest of the industry and the practices there, you can only imagine what an unregulated sector of the, you know, development community that exists outside of the purview of most people, how things are handled there and with children. So let's see. First off, you have a lot of these development groups taking place offsite, so they're on Discord channels, third party, and apparently they're, you know, there's crunch involved, there's, you know, suspicious business practices, you know, content moderation that not really happening. For example, there's even a marketplace on there where you can get basic, it's almost like an auction that you bid for these items, and it can be, you know, thousands of dollars that people are paying for these just like in-game costume pieces that they're putting on their characters. So they were talking about some of the developers who made some popular games on Roblox where they had a payout of, you know, a couple thousand dollars, they ended up dumping it on a on some in-game items because they're kids and they don't know, they're not responsible with money. And so along with that,
fiscal responsibility, what's that?
And then they talked about, you know, how there's different, you know, developers, and one being a developer of this game called Sonic Simulator, who was kicked off the platform for reasons, but outside of that, though, had some troubling relationships with some of the young female developers that he had under him. And so just, you know, sexual harassment and stuff like that. So it's basically kind of like the whole game industry, but now it's still the game industry. You know, it's not surprising. So when we talk about all the, like, you know, terrible behavior in the game industry, it just exists everywhere. It's not just these big game companies. So that's kind of what this was talking about, was all of these different issues that are out there that are kind of shocking. And some of these, you know, kind of led people to go, you know, leave Roblox to go develop elsewhere, like Unity or stuff like that. So, yikes. And, oh, and by the way, Roblox is not doing anything about any of these things. So they did approach them with, you know, all the stuff that's going on. And they basically gave them a bunch of PR marketing speak that, you know, hey, we have community guidelines, you know, but they're not doing anything to enforce a lot of these. Or, you know, some of the stuff that's happening off platform, they're like, well, it's not on a platform, so
yeah,
you know.
As long as as long as the money's rolling in and the government isn't looking at it, who cares?
Exactly. So
who cares that Roblox is like mostly children involved in that? Who cares? Kids got money too.
Yeah, or for example, there was a guy that was helping you know, he was crunching for a long time to work on some game thing that he had kind of taken over and started running. And then the people that ran the game, they incorporated and they were able to kick him out because, you know, he doesn't understand contracts and stuff like that. And so they were able to basically keep the profits for all that stuff. But I think like that, like the marketplace where you can like bid on stuff, the auction house, that's just... That's just shady, especially when there's items there being sold for like thousands of dollars on there. Like, this is a platform for kids and you're targeting them with thousands of dollars worth of, like, it's not like items that like start at $5 and get bid up to that. It's they start at thousands, like Gucci labeled like things.
Well,
like a digital item.
This sounds like a great YouTube to watch if you want to be horrified. Who is the channel again?
Yeah, it's People Make Games.
Okay, I'll have to watch that later. I'm in the mood for a horrific documentary. All right. Meanwhile, let's counter that with a feel good video game, very unproblematic except for the name change when it came over stateside. Let's talk about Puzzle Bobble. Puzzle Bobble. There's
Puzzle
a new
Bobble Boo.
There's a new one, which you might know as Bust a Move, in which case you're wrong. But it was released in the U.S. as Bust a Move several times, which really, in reality, is a legendary dancing game that really needs to come back. Like, it's long overdue at Square Enix, the emphasis on Enix. Anyway, but at least the Puzzle Bobble fans are getting a new game. There is a new Puzzle Bobble in the works at Taito. And Taito, this isn't rumor or anything. Taito actually announced this with the YouTube. And it was reported by Gematsu. There was a special video presentation that you can see on YouTube where director Tsuyoshi Tozaki and the level designer Hidetaka Iomasa, and of course little mascot Bub from, you know, Bubble Bobble. I think there was Bub and Bob. Yep. But Bub is in this and, you know, gets a little look here. You know, this is the game where you have a little pointer and you try to match the bubbles the same color and all that. There's only some mock-up stuff. You don't really actually see video of the game in motion. But they are saying they're going to take a similar mentality to Bubble Bobble for Friends. Four-player action and family-friendly gameplay. So that's cute. So, yeah, the four-player action looks kind of fun there. But, yeah, so far we don't have a lot besides the fact that they are working on one. So, cool. Moving on. Dark Sakura.
Something else being worked on. I have so many hopes for this. So many fucking hopes. So the next Dead by Daylight chapter is going to be Ringu, as in not the Ring, the U.S. one, although technically it is the Ring, but the Japanese one with Sadako and not that stupid little Samara child. It is supposed to be based from the original story, which actually makes me think that it's more off of the novel by Suzuki Koji, which I have read Ring, Spiral, and Loop. I will tell you right now that the books, I've also read Birthday, and basically I've read all of the Sadako novels, and they go in a completely different direction than sort of where they went with the movies. Just a word of warning there, I'm not going to spoil anything about it, but like the spoiler video has like, you know, the generator, you know, making its noise, because the whole point for survivors in Dead by Daylight is to repair generators so that you can GTFO. And then the camera pans over and you see the well. And I'm so excited about that. The one thing that I am a little bit kind of iffy about is that the producer behind that is, working on it actually from Kadokawa, is Imayasu Reiko, who produced the Sadako 3D and Sadako 3D 2. I need to see Sadako 3D 2. But Sadako 3D was hilariously terrible. It was bad, and it was so funny. Like, it was, what was almost funnier was Sadako versus Kayako. Kayako was the Onryo from Ju-on, the mom.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I hope that they get it right. There's so much they could get right. And of course, if people are already like, oh, well, it's the Spirit 2.0. Well, duh, who do you think the Spirit was based off of? It's an Onryo.
Well,
which
I
is
mean,
a vengeful ghost.
And Billy, it was one of the first killers in the game who is very much a Leatherface-inspired character.
Exactly.
And then they got Leatherface. So, and they exactly. made them different enough. They'll find ways to distinguish.
Echo Fighters.
No.
But the thing for me is that I'm wondering how Sadako works as a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, in the end, the deal with Sadako is that you have the tape, you watch the tape. So I wonder if there's going to be like little TVs hanging around, and that you have something like seven cycles in the game, or you know, something like that, before, you know, it's a head pop like Pig.
Mm.
That's how I would do it if I were doing this. Is I would have her like be able to like climb out of TVs at different places in the level,
mm-hmm.
and you know, put like a curse on somebody that if they don't do some action, that like maybe it's after 70 seconds or something in game, because the games go pretty quickly, that you lose a health state or something like that. That kind of makes me think of how I would do that.
I just want to say, I think about how the game recently lost Demogorgon. I mean, yes, if you already bought Demogorgon, he's still there, so they can't exactly just make... Even though, well, since Loki said Echo Killer, you know what's interesting? They do have Echo Survivors, basically. That, like, for example, you know, you have Cheryl Mason has, like, three different Echo skins available, where you get, like, James Sunderland is one of them, where James is Cheryl, but just as a James skin.
A lot of creepypasta.
Yeah, so, but anyway, but that...
Cosmetic hacking.
We have yet to see an Echo Killer. I actually think that's a rad idea. Not for this, but just in general and in the future. I think the idea of an Echo Killer is actually pretty... Well, actually, I take that back. Pinhead, the Cenobite...
We do have him. We have Chatterer.
There's the Chatterer, which are technically different, even though they're from the same franchise.
Which so he guess, doesn't even do the Chatter thing, so what's the point?
Well, Pinhead doesn't say his lines either. But anyway, we digress. Echo
you
Killer would be cool.
The box, and I came.
Now, anyway, I was going to say the game did lose Demogorgon as a new character, but I could see something like with instead of the we call them buttholes, but they're portals that Demogorgon opens on the ground
to transport,
yeah, from one place on the map to another. I could see something like that with like the TV mechanic like you're talking about, where maybe the TVs are already placed and Sadako does something with that to be able to move around the map quickly.
Yeah, I have hopes for this. It's probably one of my favorite movie and book series. I mean, I have read Ring, Spiral, Loop, and Birthday like so many times. For the record, Suzuki Koji is also the guy who wrote Dark Water.
Ah.
And Dark Water was actually a collection of short stories, but the movie that came out that the US one was based off of was based off of a short story in his book.
Hmm.
He's like iconic horror writer, and I'm really hoping that we see a lot more. I don't know if we're going to get a survivor with this one. It doesn't sound like it. Looks like she's going to be a standalone killer.
It does sound like we're getting a survivor. I was going to add because there was a quote where they said something like survivor mains have something to look forward to as well.
I mean, see that.
That could have been a roundabout comment. I think it's something the Dead by Daylight producer said. And I was going to ask you because I'm familiar with The Ring, you know, like tons of people saw that movie when it came out. I'm less familiar with Ringu, so I was going to ask you, like, who does the survivor end up being in this? Is there a likely candidate for that?
In the first movie, it was the first main character. Her name was Reiko, and she was, I believe she was an actress. I might be thinking of Ju-on 2. But no, Reiko was, she was, now, she also was, I have to go back and look at it. Actually, I'm probably thinking of Ju-on instead. But the first character in the Japanese movies was a female protagonist, but in the books, it was a male protagonist.
Oh.
Who was a journalist.
Interesting.
And he has this other friend who is like this person behind like programming and epidemiology in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go ahead and say a little bit more about the book. The books themselves focus more on the viral aspect of the video and copying the video and how showing it to other people spreads like a virus.
Right.
Until Sadako is taking over everybody in this environment. And if I really go too much into it, it is absolutely going to spoil the novels, and I want everybody to read them. They're so good.
Mm-hmm.
But the original protagonist in the books is a man and his family, and his family watches the video.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different ways that they could go with it. I'm really excited, and for me being a lore nerd,
I heard about this.
And then knowing the lore behind the movie, and the original Ring came out in 98. Yeah, her name was Reiko. I did remember right. The character's name was Reiko. And I just really, 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 really have some high hopes behind this. On top of that, if we were going to have other survivors in there, there could also be Hitomi, who was the assistant to the person that she saw to get advice about the videotape. Mm-hmm. And he watched it, but it was Mai who found his body. Mai ends up being like a main character in one of the other stories, too. I'm really, really, really super excited about it. Or you know what we could have? Here's a thought, Rob.
Uh-huh.
What if we have Sadako as both a killer and a survivor?
That could be the interesting twist about survivor mains. Who knows? It could be very interesting.
Because her origin story, she was actually a victim.
I think something that's really interesting about Dead by Daylight is the way that they kind of get licenses. You know, because I think it's interesting. It really sounds to me like, I know they say, oh, it's going to be influenced by the movies, but it really sounds like they licensed from the book, because I think it was the publisher of the book that made comments about, you know,
they're working with the producer of the last two movies.
Interesting. But
I think it's going to be, they're going to pick and choose from the Japanese licenses.
Yeah, I guess where it makes sense. But but it's also interesting they did go to Ringu, where, you know, they could have tried to do The Ring and done it that way. And you know,
you'd be dealing with a 9-year-old character, a 9-year-old killer.
That might be a little weird, yeah.
Well, and the other thing, too, I still think it's pretty ridiculous that they have Chatterer in there as we were saying, as an Echo skin, because technically in lore, if you watched Hellraiser 2, Chatterer is a 10-year-old boy.
Oh.
But you want to know something else about this, with it actually being Sadako mm-hmm. instead of, in any of the U.S. ones? It's going to be the first intersex character.
I've heard that, yeah.
In Dead by Daylight, or yep. maybe in almost any game practically, I would think. Well, correct me if I'm wrong.
Indie games, I'm sure, but it's nice to see that representation on a large scale in a huge video game.
People don't know about the original series. I mean, it wasn't even brought up until like much later into the stories that Sadako, part of, you know, what led to some of her problems is that she was born intersex, female identifying.
I was just to say a minute ago with the Dead by Daylight licensing, I think it's just interesting that they kind of, you know, went that direction. You know, they've done some clever things to get some of the things they want in the game. Like, I always think about, like, Ghostface. The Ghostface being in Dead by Daylight has nothing to do with Scream. People jump to that conclusion, but it has nothing to do with Scream, because even when the movies got Ghostface as the killer, it was literally a mask that they found at a Halloween store, and they licensed the mask. So that is exactly what Dead by Daylight, they licensed the mask. So that's why you don't have Sidney Prescott or any of that as survivors. Although I think we'd all love it if, like, Sidney Prescott or Casey or somebody showed up as survivors in the game. I guess maybe that it was much cheaper to pay the makers of the Ghostface mask. And then if you read the lore, he's like a photographer in the Midwest. It's nothing to do with the movies. So I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, his name's Danny something.
Yeah.
But I was still highly disappointed that they did remake Freddy. And I mean, Quentin, don't get me wrong, he's pretty now. I'm happy with Quentin now. But I would have played Survivor in a heartbeat if Nancy, like Heather Langenkamp's Nancy.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Or even better, Alice.
I would love to see a classic Freddy thing show up, even if Freddy is already in the game. Anyway.
I want Alice as a fucking survivor.
Not another Dead by Daylight tangent. All right, we better go to another story. So.
Okay, I know. But just in general, though, like, two of my favorite things, you know, having a really weird-looking baby makes me happy.
Oh, sure. I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm giddy.
Moving on. Loki.
All right. So... CD Projekt Red has finally settled a lawsuit regarding Cyberpunk 2077. This is from the investors, who say that basically they were lied to and that the game was virtually unplayable. So we've got to make sure those investors are taken care of. So yes, they are going to be awarded $1.85 million.
Wow.
Unfortunately, that doesn't take care of any of the players that had to wait so long for this to become actually playable.
It seems the game's in much better shape now. At least that's the narrative a lot of the fans are trying to put out there on the internet, is that, hey, come back and visit this game. It's a lot better, which, to be fair, you know, things like No Man's Sky, Diablo 3, they reinvented. So there's no reason why Cyberpunk 2077 can't be in that same boat.
Actually, my mistake. So I was confused. There's two different lawsuits. So there's one from the investors. This is actually a class action lawsuit that came out of California. And so same outcome, though. No one's going to get any money because it's a class action lawsuit. And
the lawyers get money.
Million.
That's it.
Someone gets $2.
Money. Yeah, you can file to get a check for 87 cents, probably.
Hey, I actually one time cashed a class action lawsuit check for $5 and got myself dinner with it. So that
was
cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. One more story tonight, and it is a sad one. And you may not know this name, but you would definitely know her contributions to gaming and pop culture. Unfortunately, we lost Vera Lanfear-Pacheco this week. Most well-known, I think, in the gaming circles as the voice of Daphne, Princess Daphne in Dragon's Lair. So, unfortunately, so she's passed away. Don't know the cause.
I can't make my voice that high-pitched.
Production designer Don Bluth, who was a huge imaginative mind behind Dragon's Lair, Space Ace, and, you know, games of that era, mentioned the passing in a social media post, saying, "I am saddened by the news of my friend Vera's passing. She was a spark that lit up the room. I cherish all of the time we worked together, and she will surely be missed, not only for her artistic talents, but for her wonderful personality that she gave to all who knew her. We'll miss you, Vera. Rest in peace." Some other credits under Vera's name: Pete's Dragon, Banjo the Woodpile Cat, Secret of Nim, which is kind of a cult classic for
love that movie.
Adults of a certain age who were kids
and
of a certain age.
And that was also Don Bluth behind that.
Yeah, exactly. So Don Bluth and Vera worked together quite a bit. So it's no surprise she showed up as Princess Daphne, really. So an unfortunate.
And she was. Didn't she also voice the one in Space Ace? Or
she
am
may
I wrong?
Have. It's not in this story, so I'd have to pull up her IMDb. But yeah. Dar Tatsuya in chat says, "Yeah, I saw that one around Discord and the internet. Not super familiar with Dragon's Lair, but still sad. You should watch a playthrough and remember that the game came out in like 1983, I think. And I'm sure Darksiders done it as a classic game, but it probably was some time ago at this point because that segment's been going on for 10 years. But the segment can be a classic game of the week soon.
I still have no idea what my new special segment's going to be, for the record.
I seem to recall last year you figured it out the week of, so there's no hurry.
Probably.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, like it's worth watching a playthrough and kind of like just to and remember the time of the era that it is. And the fact that a game looked like that in 1983, I mean, sure, they were quote unquote cheating using a video disc to do it, but still it was groundbreaking at the time. And the animation just really gave it that extra level.
And how considerate of them to put a TV on top of the cabinet so that we could all watch.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Dark Tatsuya says, "I do remember seeing it on Starcade. If G4 ever re-airs it, I'll give it a close watch." I forgot that there's a new G4.
Let's see how long that lasts.
Until you mentioned that, yeah. I guess must see television.
It's not that I haven't forgot about it, but it's only on TV. Or it's not only on TV. They have, like, episodes, but I can't be bothered. It's kind of like how it is right now.
I enjoy watching Twitch. That's just kind of where I'm at right now.
There was a Twitch channel that was all tech TV.
Oh, and so, Fifth Dream says Starcade is on it. Well, now that's television worth watching.
Is
right
it
there.
New Starcade or is it old Starcade?
I think it's old Starcade.
I thought they were going to make a new Starcade.
If they had launched a new Starcade, I would have already bitched about whoever they got to host it and why I would have been a better host. So that story hasn't crossed the desk yet. So, all right. We are to the point in the show where we're going to invite you guys to participate with the show. We take your emails, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we welcome your calls over in our green room over at vognetwork.com/discord. Yeah, vognetwork.com/discord. Let's open up the mailbag. I don't think there was anything in there, but
nope,
I could be wrong.
There's nothing.
Nope. Well. participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and maybe we can discuss your query in a future week. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Fifth Dream says if they did a new Starcade, it would be all ticket games now. Mobile Starcade. Oh. Why can't it be classic games? Why does it have to be newer games?
It would be classic games. I don't think they would have to do – they wouldn't do mobile games because no one cares about that. Or ticket games. Yeah. No one cares about that. It's just what's in the arcade. It's what kids play because they want to win. They don't play. It's a means to an end, basically.
And Starcade missed the entirety of the 90s. There's a whole other generation of arcade games that could be represented that I think would be really cool. Anyway, we do have a caller waiting in the green room, so let's bring them onto the program and see what they have to say. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who is this?
Hello, this is Pixel Pacas.
Hey,
hi.
Pixel Pacas. Good to hear from you. What's up?
I just wanted to talk about a game that I've been playing lately.
Please.
Because it's not getting the attention I feel it really should be.
These types of calls. Let's give it some attention. What is it?
Yeah, so the game is called Garage Bad Dream Adventure. And it just released, I think, this past week on mobile, so iOS and Android. Maybe that's why it's not getting a lot of discussion, since it's not on Steam or consoles. But what is so interesting about this game And what like drew me to it is the fact that I've been following this game for a long time because Garage actually came out in 1999 in Japan on PC. It was a super limited game. And somewhere in the like 2010s, English speakers started to notice it and were like, I want to see like what is this game? Because it has like this kind of H.R. Giger-esque look to it. It's a point-and-click adventure, but it's kind of disturbing and weird. And so people kind of in the West were treating this as like a lost game because there was nothing about it online. There was no way to download it. Nobody had ever uploaded it. Nobody had copies of it. And so eventually someone did buy a copy for like over $1,000.
Wow.
And, you know, released it online. But still, it was in Japanese. So you had to understand Japanese or have some way to kind of play it. But last year there was a Japanese, like basically a Japanese Kickstarter, on a different website, of course, but to basically modernize it, release it again and translate it into English. So from 1999 to 2021, it's finally available officially in English. And, I've been playing it and I think it's quite good, quite strange. It's like this weird mechanical world where people, it's not people, I guess it's the robots that live in sewers. but it's pretty cool. And I've been having a lot of fun with it so far.
I Googled it on my phone while you're talking about it. And it looks scary and weird and it looks right up Dark Sakura's alley.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's it called again?
Garage, like a garage door. Garage Bad Dream Adventure.
Okay.
And yeah. The original was in 1999, and I was looking at published by Toshiba EMI, which kind of made me laugh because they did all the Dance Mania albums that DDR Music came from. But I guess they're a huge publisher in Japan.
I wonder if it's an iOS game, if I can play it on my Mac Mini.
One way to
find
out. That
would be interesting because then I can stream it.
Yeah,
that would be good. I'm playing it on my Chromebook, which also plays, a different thing, but similar concept because it'll play the Google Play games. And so
it
I was streaming it through
store.
That.
Hold on. It's not in the App Store.
Boo.
It is. Oh, not on the App Store? I guess I don't know Apple, so. But it is on iOS.
Well, I mean, but it's not one of the ones that's compatible for Mac M1. So.
Okay.
Oh, bummer.
I'll have to find another way to do it. It looks cool, though. It totally does look like it's up my alley.
Yeah, definitely. It's very strange, creepy, but not super. It's not like horror. It's more of the look that's kind of weird. There's even a bit of humor in it at times. So it's definitely worth a look. And because this version is made in Unity, I feel like they could, if they wanted to, they could bring this to Steam in the future or even a console if they wanted to. And I think they should.
Huh.
It definitely looks interesting.
Have you streamed this at all? I know Pixel Podcast, I catch you on Twitch once in a great while doing something. Have you streamed this one at all?
Yeah, I've been playing it. I started playing it on Friday, so I've been just doing little streams here and there randomly. And so far it's been good. It's not like one of those really mean point-and-click adventures where you die everywhere randomly. I did die once, but I think it was my own fault. I walked under a like crushing machine, so I should have known what would happen. No. But yeah, I think it's fun, and I would recommend it for sure. It's only like $5, so from $1,000 on an auction to $5, absolutely.
Yeah,
mad that whoever bought it's like, what was I thinking?
And unfortunately,
they knew
even
what
though.
They were thinking.
Unfortunately, even though Dark Sakura pointed out it's not available on her mini, I did search my iPhone, and it is on the iPhone App Store available. So.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is that it's not one of the ones that's compatible on the M1. Yeah.
Fifth Dream in chat says, wow, boobs. Saw a video, skipped ahead. Ta-da. Is that? Are we talking about Garage, or did you find something else? Are there boobs in Garage?
There are robot boobs.
All right. You know what? I'll take them where I can get them.
Not Tada, it's Tida.
Oh, Lord.
Why? Yeah.
Why?
Oh, boy.
Why they pay me the big bucks?
I love that. A caller calls in to talk about a game that's very exciting, and like, this game's from 1999, and da-da-da. And what do you all want to bring up? Boobs.
You open the door, me, you don't expect me. You to walk through it.
All right. Well, Pixelpockas, I appreciate the game recommendation. And yeah, anything else on your mind tonight?
No, I'm just so excited about that game, and I want other people to play it so I can talk to them about it, but
sounds
so that's
good.
Just me just in this push.
I'll look into it, and it sounds like Dark Sakura will get on board at some point, so I think you may be successful. And it sounds like Fifth Dream might get it for the boobs, so you may have made a few sales tonight. All right. Have a good one, Pixelpockas. Right. Thanks for being here tonight.
You too. Thanks. All
right. Bye. All right. Let's go back here. So again, if you want to give us a call, vognetwork.com/discord. Let me check in with Loki real quick and see if there's any last minute stories before we wrap up.
There's nothing.
There's no, I know. I think we kind of, I mean, it is like, you know, Christmas is what, Saturday. So there's a lot of people who just have this next week off. A lot of the big game releases for the year have already happened. The reality is just it's a slow time. I'm kind of surprised we had a full show roll as it is. There was enough news for that, but probably not a lot more outside of that. I guess we had to get into YouTube documentaries to really fill it out. But that is a good one. It was worth talking about. Yeah. So, all right. Well, if that is it, let me just peek one more time. All right. Yeah. Nobody's in there. So, all right. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up. And thank you guys very much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio, whether you were here live with us tonight at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, or you listen to us on the podcast feed. No matter how you consume the show, thank you so much for being a part of it and being here this week. If you like what you heard here on the show, or even if you hated it, tell a friend who you think might enjoy it. help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, and we need more voices here to get their voices on air and be heard. I know we had at least one new person there tonight. I hope we get many, many more in the future as we move into 2022, and hopefully not 2020 part two, although it's sounding more and more like it. I think that's about it I have for the plugs and all that stuff. We will be back in 7 days to do it all over again. Big holiday week here in the States and around the world. So, hey, however you celebrate, whether it's KFC or, you know, a tree and presents or whatever it is, candles, Christmas lights, whatever it is you do this week, a Festivus pole, solstice, whatever it is that you do this week.
Invictus if you're a Satanist. Just saying.
Whatever it is you celebrate this season, I hope you have a great celebration. I hope this week treats you well, and I hope you stay safe with all the other crazy stuff going on in the world. And I hope things are great for you and the people you care about leading into the new year, which is something we'll be talking about next week, because I imagine the news will be very light next week, and so we might start talking about predictions and that sort of thing. With that, let's get everybody's final thoughts. And Dark Sakura, I will start with you, because I know you're going to go run off and start hooking some people. Not hooking,
I am.
But hooking some
I'm
people.
A hooker.
Yeah.
I managed to get a lot of the graphics redone for my Twitch page. I'm very happy with them. They're all based off of the Fantasy Zone, because welcome to the Fantasy Zone. Mm-hmm. Get ready.
All right. Have a good night, Dark Sakura. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Loki, we'll go to you and your final thought.
I have to design and build stuff in Minecraft so I can make more content. It's
content.
A never-ending cycle.
It is never-ending cycle. My final thought. I don't know. I don't have a lot on my mind. I got some weird news before the show tonight, so I'm just kind of like, it's fine, but just there's a lot irritating going on. So I'm glad y'all are here to listen to me bitch and talk about things that I actually do enjoy, like video games. So thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Have a great week. I mean it. Have a good holiday, whatever it is you're into. And we'll talk to you about all the loot that you got on Sunday. Hopefully a lot of you get some new games this week. And maybe some free games and all these giveaways online and stuff like that. That's it. We'll see you in 7 days, but not like the ring we were talking about earlier. We'll see you back here on Twitch in 7 days. Have a good night, everybody. See ya.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next time. week.